Welcome to the Geneva Peace Week podcast series, a project of the Geneva Peacebuilding Platform. Geneva Peace Week was founded on the core belief that each person, actor, and institution has a role to play in building peace and resolving conflict. Geneva Peace Week is an annual forum in the peacebuilding calendar that includes ceremonies, high-level panels, policy briefings, workshops, videos, podcasts, and other special events. These free contributions are hosted by different organizations and actors around the world. This year, Geneva Peace Week celebrates its 10th anniversary and is held from the 30th of October to the 3rd of November, 2023. For more content, join us at the Geneva Peace Week or online at www.genevapeaceweek.ch.
Did you know that, according to Small Arms Survey Research, the majority of small arms and light weapons worldwide are owned by civilians? And did you know that these weapons represent 85% of all the weapons out there, and only 15% of these weapons are owned by legit governmental institutions, such as the police services or the armies? And what is most interesting and relevant is that of the small arms and light weapons in circulation, only 12% are registered and legally owned. The remaining are illicit and unregistered weapons that are easily going to enter the illicit trafficking market. Because the global arms trade, combining the licit and the illicit trade, is estimated to be worth more than $7 billion, while more than 200,000 people die every year of arms killings. This data shows that organized crime and illicit organizations are currently exploiting governmental vacuums and the weaknesses of the international legal system to expand their arms trade networks. Welcome back, everyone. I am Mariana from Control Arms, and this is episode 2 of our podcast series, Unveiling the Impact of Arms Control, Real World Insights. Today, we are wondering what our speakers think in relation to the impact of multilateral agreements, if there is a tangible impact in diverse countries, and especially in terms of reducing gun violence. So we're essentially talking about multilateral agreements such as the UNPOA and the Arms Trade Treaty. With this introduction in mind, let's turn to the lineup of our speakers, who are Karina Sulmirano, the ATT Monitor Project Lead, Baptiste Genzonayo, Executive Director of CIROCOV, Montserrat Martinez, a research consultant specialized on gender and armed violence, and Pauline Dempers, a human rights activist from Namibia. Our first speaker is Karina Sulmirano, who is the project lead of the Arms Trade Treaty Monitor, an independent research project at the NGO Control Arms. She has almost 20 years of experience working on defense and international security issues, having worked also at the Organization of American States, the Argentine Senate, at the Ministry of National Security, and at the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, SIPRI. So, Karina, in your opinion, do you think that agreements such as the ATT and the UNPOA had a tangible impact in your country or region, especially in terms of reducing gun violence?
It's a very good question, and it's a very hard one to answer, because I don't think there is a direct correlation between these multilateral agreements and any potential gun violence reduction in recent years. Latin America has been at the forefront of fighting illegal trafficking of guns, and I think in that sense it's remarkable, you know, that most of our countries belong to many of these multilateral agreements, to the ATT. It's almost universal in our region, the UNPOA as well, and our own regional agreements like CIFTA, which is the Inter-American Convention on Firearms. However, what I would consider successful cases, perhaps, of gun reduction due to multilateral agreements, I think it's a little bit harder to find. Something that we have read in the past is efforts to bring some of the elements of these multilateral agreements, of course, harmonizing national legislations to implement some of, you know, some of the articles of these agreements in an effort to reduce illicit trafficking, not so much gun violence. I think we have seen successful cases of cooperation between the police and the custom agencies in South America, in what we call our tri-border area between Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay, where we have cases of, you know, illicit trafficking, but also diversion of weapons from one market to the other market. And I think, it, you know, you could attribute, you know, the fact that we are abide by this instrument to these positive cooperative efforts. It's a little bit more difficult to measure the impact of these agreements into gun reduction because, again, we are the most violent region in the world.
Thank you, Karina, for your answer. It is amazing to have insights also on your country and region. I would now like to introduce Baptiste Genzonayo from Sirecobi. Baptiste, do you want to say something about yourself?
Okay, my name is Baptiste Genzonayo. I'm executive director of Burundi, for Recovery, Réveil Communautaire d'Assistance aux Victimes. It is an NGO based in Burundi and a member of Control Arms Coalition.
Thank you, Baptiste. And what do you think about the impact that multilateral agreements had in your region? Was it a tangible impact, especially in relation to gun violence reduction?
In my experience, I see that those instruments have helped much in reducing firearms and gun violence. But, you know, in some countries, those regulation or instrument are not working alike. Some countries have signed on them, and maybe they are not active. And I think that where I am located in Burundi, mm-hmm. First of all, the country is the signatory of ATT. So then it is working, but I think that the fire or arms violence are seen there and there, but the government with the civil society, we are approaching so that we are activists on this, and we are seeing if there can be any mitigation of violence due to firearms here and there. So then those instruments are very important, but they are not working as we wish they could.
Thank you, Baptiste. Let's now turn to our last speaker for today, who is Montserrat. Would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Montserrat Martinez. I'm from Mexico City, and I'm part of the Control Arms Coalition and part of the ISG group. So I'm very close to the work of the coalition has been doing for the past couple of years. I'm an expert on how to address the gender-based violence and gun violence, how are those matters are related, and how to start mitigating the effects of gun violence into, specifically into in the matters of violence against women. So that's what I do.
Thank you, Montserrat. What is your opinion on the impact of multilateral agreements such as the UNPOA and the ATT?
I think it's a great question of how we can measure this impact on a daily basis. And I think these instruments has curbed like the careless action of both buyers and sellers. And also that is like a closer scrutiny on how people act and how it impacts on into society. So I think, but also I believe that it has to do with the institutional culture in how changes are implemented. And for instance, I can refer to Latin America like culture, because the approach is more like legalistic. Therefore, the adoption of such kind of instruments is required to start generating mechanisms to address this kind of issues. So and in other places of the world, like you don't just have to have this willing to start implementing these mechanisms even when you are not part of the international regime of arms control. So I think it's like a different from every culture how society have been shaping this part of institutional changes and how they wanted to implement into their societies.
Thank you, Montserrat. This was a great insight from your perspective. And what do you think, Pauline?
Well, it has really set a pace. It has enabled us to start a comprehensive program, especially starting with the UNPOA, where we had in 2003 and 2004, we have started with the mapping process to understand the level of gun violence in the country. And that has really helped us to set up a national focal point, which I am part of, and also established or worked on a national action plan. That has really helped us to start a program, a comprehensive one in the country. And followed by that, as recent, we have started with the Arms Trade Treaty, with the funds that the Ministry of Defense received from the Voluntary Trust Fund. And last year we had one workshop that has really set the pace to establish the national authority and also to look at how we can, as a country, work and implement the Arms Trade Treaty.
Thank you, Pauline, for sharing your experience and perspectives with us. So we are now approaching the end of this episode, and I would like to thank our speakers and public. Stay tuned, as in the next episode, we will talk about what needs to happen at the multilateral level to deliver impactful change in our world and society. We will talk about this with Shireen, Karina, and Montserrat. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you want to connect with us, follow us on Control Arms social media channels. I'm Mariana, and I will wait for you in the next episode.
You've been listening to the Geneva Peace Week podcast series. For more content like this, join us at the Geneva Peace Week or online at www.genevapeaceweek.ch.